And let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Early in the gospel, according to Mark, the men who were about to become Jesus' disciples appeared settled. Peter and his brother Andrew owned a home. We know that Peter had a mother-in-law who lived with them, and no doubt there were other family members in that house as well. And when we meet these men, they are casting nets into the sea because they are fishermen. And James and his brother John were sitting in a fishing boat with their father Zebedee. And they were mending nets because they were also fishermen. Fishing was the family business. The smell of fish was permanently on the hands of these four men. The smell of the sea was a part of every breath they had taken. This was the life they knew, and they lived it every day, year after year. And then one ordinary day, Jesus walked by and said, "Follow me." And we're told that all four of them immediately dropped everything and followed him. Where are they going? How will they pay their bills? What about their jobs? What about their families? What about old man Zebedee, who was left in the boat? The way that Mark has written this story, it appears that they do not have answers to any of these reasonable questions. Now, to be clear, they did not follow Jesus because they've been converted as penitent sinners. That comes later. And we cannot say that they understand who Jesus is as in the incarnation of God with us. That comes much later for them. We cannot even say that they have a clue where following Jesus will lead them. But Jesus does make one single promise to them. He promised them that he would change them from fishermen to fishers of people. In other words, he would show them how to catch people who are falling so they could make a difference with their lives. And who doesn't want that? What we all want is to make a difference, even in some small way, to the lives of other people. We want to know that in the great sea of human life, we've done something to help. We want to do more than just catch more fish or make bigger deals or earn promotions. We want to catch people who are falling into despair, into hurt, or into holes that they cannot climb out of. We want our lives to matter. And maybe you can make a difference to a child. What a wonderful way to spend a life raising the next generation with virtues worthy of their lives. Or maybe you can make a difference to your colleagues at work. Over and over we hear that the greatest reason for job satisfaction comes not from the work that we do, but the people that we work with. Or maybe you just want to make a difference by caring about someone or something important. If you were the kind of person whose goal is just to collect more money, you would not be wasting your time in church. No. You're the kind of person who would love for your obituary to read, "This person made a difference in the lives of others." And at this point in Mark's gospel, that is all Jesus has promised. But the promise comes at a cost. You must be willing to follow Jesus, and that means you must be willing to leave the familiar life behind. But hasn't it always been like that in life? Imagine how small your life would have been if you never left your parents' home. It was familiar. But the adventure began when you left it and started out on the road called your life, and as your maturity began, so does it continue. We do not make the big move once. Life is a constant process of following Jesus, who leads us to new places, and Along the way, we're transformed into those who grow in the skill of making a difference. It's amazing how much movement there is in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah left their home in Ur of the Chaldeans to spend the rest of life following the dream that God gave them. Isaac and Jacob were constantly moving around. Later, the Hebrew people were on the move from slavery into the promised land, and it was when they settled in the land that their problems started. And then they were on the move to exile, where their renewal began again. David was at his best when he was on the move being chased by Saul. And again, his greatest sins came when he settled down and stopped moving. And Jesus was always on the move, and the most wonderful things happened to the people he met along the way. And the church began at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit blew the disciples out of the upper room and into the waiting world. The book of Acts and the epistles of the New Testament depict a church that is in constant change. It's hard to find anyone in the Bible who is in a serious drama with God and is undergoing a change for the better who is not on the move. And usually the move is not geographical. Sometimes it's our relationships that are in motion and constantly changing. Sometimes it's our jobs or the world changing around us. Inevitably, it's just the process of getting older that's changing us. And if you're wondering what 2024 will bring, I can answer that question for you. Change. Often the changes are unwanted. But every change presents you with a choice. Will you drop what you can no longer hold and follow Jesus to a new place? Will you learn more about what it means to follow a Savior? And will you allow the inevitable changes of life to change you into a person who's better equipped to make a difference? Or will you waste your losses in life by settling into the role of a victim? It's your choice. Later in the gospel story, the disciples tried to explain to Jesus how much they had sacrificed to follow him. And Jesus responded by telling them they were not focused on where they were headed. And when they did try to think about where Jesus was leading them, they assumed he was eventually going to settle down and establish his earthly kingdom in Israel. But Jesus created no organization, no bylaws, no religion. He didn't even have officers. Well, actually, he had a treasurer, but that didn't work out so well. What Jesus embodies is God's holy movement in our world. And so the point of following Jesus is not to get settled into a new place. The point of following Jesus is just to follow Jesus. And along the way, he provides the transformation of our lives. And like the first disciples, we find ourselves making a difference, which is just another reason why we call him our Savior. There was something about Jesus that was just so compelling that these fishermen knew they had to follow him. And you've not yet fully encountered Jesus if you do not know about his compelling nature. Calling is not easily explained by rationality, but it is analogous to falling in love. Who can fully explain why they fell in love? Imagine yourself meeting with a pastor with your fiancé because you want to get married. The pastor asks you, "Why do you want to marry this person?" Do you want to hear your beloved say, "Well, my fiancé has a pretty good resume. I'd hoped for more income and a better stock portfolio, but this is good enough. By merging our assets, we should be able to invest in higher yield returns." No. You want to hear your beloved say, "Pastor, I can't really explain it, but I'm just so in love with this person, I'm ready to commit myself to spend the rest of my life in this marriage." Right? That's exactly right. And later, when this couple decides to have children, what is rational about that? It's not to save money or to get more sleep. And why do people engage in committed friendships? It's not to save time, because friendships cost a lot. We engage in all of the important relationships of life because from someplace deep within us comes a calling to this relationship. Those who first heard Jesus' call just knew they had to follow him. And that's the same call that greets you as we start this new year. To listen for it is to hear it, and to hear it is to devote your life to following him. Now, maybe you would say that you've never heard a call from Jesus, but I wonder if that's true. Because most every day we face the call to turn one way or another in life. You have to make the choice at school, or at work, and at home. It could be a call to become more disciplined or sacrificial. Maybe the call is to take control of your finances so you can become a better steward of them. Or maybe the call is to live more vulnerably and to tell those who are close to your heart that you love them. Or perhaps the call is to leave a settled life and to move along a path where the security is low and the risks are high. Or maybe you're called, like Jonah was, to cross the great city of Nineveh and to consider traveling to Colombia or Tanzania the next time our church takes a delegation. The call may be to leave or to cleave, to leave the familiar behind or to embrace the new gift that God is giving you. I don't know what your call may be, but if Jesus is the one making the calling, it is always a call first and foremost to follow him. And Jesus will not settle down in 2024. Like the first disciples, you do not have to have faith in how these changes are going to work out, in where you're going, or in your ability to cope with the losses and obstacles along the way. You do not even have to have faith in yourself. All you are asked is to have faith in the one who calls and who loves you too much to leave you alone. Amen.